What's up, Action Academy family? This is your host, as always, Brian Lubin. Today's episode is a very, very cool show with a good buddy of mine, Trav Bell, my favorite Australian podcaster. We've been buddies for a couple of years now, and I just had the pleasure of going on his podcast, The Bucket List Life by Trav Bell. It was a wonderful time, and we talked about a whole bunch of different stuff that I don't normally talk about in my talk tracks on a podcast. So wanted to post it today here for all of you guys. I hope that you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed being a guest. As always, if you're enjoying the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review and share the show with somebody that you think could get some value from it. Thanks so much, and let's get to it.
Hey, Bucket Listers, welcome to another episode of the Bucket List Life podcast. I'm your host, Trav Bell, the Bucket List Guy, the world's number one bucket list expert, and I am so stoked that I've got the opportunity today with my guest, Brian Lubin. How are you, buddy?
Hey, it feels good being the number two bucket list expert.
Hey, talk to our lawyers. All right, so...
I'm right behind you. Coming.
Yeah, good trademark. Dude, so stoked that you could be on today. I've been really looking forward to this. I've consumed your stuff over the last 48 hours in prep for our chat today. And you are on an absolute mission. As the watchers and listeners of this will see after this conversation, I'm sure, just your energy, your zest for life, your vision, how you reverse engineering your goals, your podcast, your book, your Action Academy. You're just crushing it, dude. And I want to open up with a question. The namesake of this podcast is the Bucket List Life podcast. What is a bucket list life to you?
Bucket list life to me is being able to truly do what you want, when you want, with who you want. But that's a pretty traditional answer, right? You hear about that all the time. So I think it's pushing yourself out of your comfort zone and pushing yourself to new levels and becoming a new version of you, doing things that I've done the meek and no, like a lot of people will list their bucket list. I want to go live in the Greek islands. I want to go hike Machu Picchu. I want to go skydive in Dubai and like swim with sharks. I want to go see whales in Hawaii. And a lot of these things that I've done. And so it's a ever continuing process of pushing yourself to become the next version of you. And so I think that's what's important, because if we really take it back to what the actual reasoning and core definition of a bucket list life is, that we're going to kick the bucket. We are going to die one day. So the experiences along with your interpretation of the experiences are equally important. So it's also what man, what woman do you become while you're doing the thing, while you're making the trip, while you're living the experience. So I think that's an equally important thing to focus on. And that's something that I focus on a lot.
Yeah, man. Look, your book, From Passive to Passionate, How to Quit Your Job, Grow Your Wealth, and Turn Your Passions into Profits. You were in a very comfortable, high-paying, you're a corporate employee, and you've done which scares the shit out of most Americans, let alone everyone else in the world who is comfortable, mortgage-paying, responsible adults, to then breaking free. You talk about your escape plan, which I want to dig into, to running your own thing. Now you've got, and really what I want to unpack is how to do that, which is the core of the book, right? People will be watching and listening going, oh, that's all well and good for Brian because he's a confident dude. He can back himself. He's done this before in other areas of his life. But for those people who are scared shitless of doing that, walk them through what is the escape plan that you dig into in your book there, mate? Because a lot of people in my community will be sitting on the fence, not overly fired up about what they're doing, but they're on the hamster wheel. They're Groundhog Day, waiting till someday the perfect time to go out there and really charge forward. I really want to unpack that, mate.
Yeah, just simply be better. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. No, first and foremost, a couple of different ways that we can dissect that. The first thing that I want to address is the fear thing. Fear, there's two different definitions of fear. There's three, actually. There's false evidence appearing real, F-E-A-R. Then there's fuck everything and run, which is what most people do. And then lastly, there's my favorite, which is face everything and rise. You're never going to, here's the thing that people are misinformed on. The fear never goes away, ever. It is going to be there regardless. Since you know that the fear never disappears, your relationship with fear is the only thing that changes
100%.
Throughout the entire journey. Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan stepping up to a free throw at their 10,000th versus their first, they still have the same fear of, I am going to miss the shot possibly. So the difference is, how do you handle the fear? Tony Robbins speaking on stage still has fear. He just has combated that with repetition. So fear and confidence go hand in hand, because a lot of people are so stuck in the how that they get blinded, right? So fear and confidence are the two levers that you pull. So one, you're never gonna get away from fear. Number two, the confidence is built from taking the action. People are waiting for the confidence to take action, but the action is what builds the confidence. Plain and simple. I can come and speak on a microphone to 10,000 people on a podcast, 100,000 people on a podcast, and I'm perfectly fine. But if I go up into a room of 100 people, I am scared shitless, because it's not something that I'm good at, comma, yet. It's something that I'm improving on and that I have to get reps on. It's my last fear. I literally will clam up, my chest gets tight. I almost passed out twice giving a keynote to my own people in Action Academy. So another 20-minute keynote. Yeah. And I have to remind myself to breathe. So yeah, you wouldn't think that, would you?
No, not at all, mate. And what's crazy is I'm completely opposite. And I think it's just taking that muscle to the gym. And for me, I started public speaking because it was my number one fear. And when I went through about a depression years ago and life wasn't going all that well, I saw some speakers. One speaker by the name of Alan Weiss is brash New York Jew. I saw him get up there and he had no tech, no whiteboard, no, and he had us laughing and crying. He's an amazing speaker, laughing and crying all in the same minute over and over again. I looked at it in awe and I just went, dude, if I can do that, what he's doing, I can do anything. And that was the first domino the first domino that I had to push over in my life too, in order to create that momentum and motivation and to smash this speaking thing. Cause I was shit scared growing up. You asked me to speak at school and I'd be ducking and weaving with the best of them. But now doing one on what I love about what you do is you seemingly have no fear about speaking to, you know, the camera, to your phone, and you've grown your business that way. And that is actually my biggest fear. What the hell? Give me some tips, Jedi.
Yeah.
Is this a Gen X nilly fucking millennial deal? Or I feel like a boomer here.
It's just reps. It's reps and reps and reps. So you just actually made a really important point, which you answered the question that you asked me, which is, what is the difference between the person that is afraid and still does the thing versus the majority that have that same fear as that person but don't do the thing, right? The difference is a strong enough why, a strong enough destination that they're going towards, a clear idea of what the other side of fear looks like for them. So for you, you saw that speaker. Instead of just, hey, I want to be good at speaking, you saw that speaker and that speaker changed your life, and you saw how they moved the crowd and how they could use their words to move people and to elicit emotion and response and action and change lives. And you could do that at scale. So you said, that will be me. I will be that. So now the only thing between you and that person is just repetition. So there's actually a new framework that I've been working on, and it applies to a lot of different business, and it actually applies to this very well. So I'm going to, I think, debut this on your podcast here.
Okay, sure.
It's a topic of a lot of my keynotes that I'm working on right now, and it's called the CVC framework. So it's clarity, volume, and consistency. I didn't even talk about it in the book, because after the book finished, I came up with this because I was trying to find the different bits and pieces from all of these thousands of millionaires that I've spoken to. And for people that don't understand the context of this, like, long story short, I was working a corporate job, making $250,000 a year as a sales rep. And then in 2022, through buying real estate and starting up my own side business through the podcast, I was able to leave that job, go travel around the world full time for 8 months and build my own business, which we just hit our millionth dollar last Sunday. So I can say that not only did we do the thing, but we built it from zero to $1 million in 13 months and 18 days. Who's counting? And now we just launched another business on top of it, which will hit $1 million mark in 6 to 9 months. So we launched one seven-figure business. Now we're about to launch the second here. So it's six-figure right now. And the framework applies to buying real estate as much as it applies to launching a business, as much as it applies to learning how to freaking spin a basketball on your finger or get on stage. So it's CVC, clarity, volume, consistency. So let's start with the most important C, capital C, clarity. Clarity is really important because it's this word that everybody's familiar with but doesn't truly understand. So what I've tried to do over speaking to all of these millionaires, I'm like, how do you operate? How are you successful but different from the average person? What is it about you? Because Trav are in a lot of the same rooms. They're not that much smarter most of the time. 10% of the time, you're like, you're a genius, dude. I'm nowhere near as smart as you. But most of the time, it's just a guy or a girl that stuck to it and went through it and figured it out. So I was like, what's the difference between you and your process versus the majority, the 99%? So this is what it's boiled down to. So I have taken the time to define clarity into three different sections. So I have labeled clarity as directional, sequential, and tactical. None of this is in the book, but the book still rocks. You guys should get it. Leave me a 5-star rating and a review, and then also leave Trav one on this podcast. So to break down the clarity, right? Directional, sequential, and tactical. So everybody focuses on the tactical, right? What do I need to do? That's how, capital H, how. What do I need to do to get to where I want to go, right? But the problem is they haven't done the proper order of the clarity journey. We begin with directional, then sequential, then tactical. So directional is, where am I going and why? Where are we heading? We're in the car on the highway. Where are we driving the car to, right? That is directional clarity. Because how the hell are you supposed to figure out what you're supposed to do when you don't know what the result that you're looking for is? For instance, example, if you want 6-pack abs, that is a good simplified definition of what you want. I want a 6-pack. I don't have a 6-pack. I need to lose weight. Directional clarity. That leads us to sequential clarity. How fast do you want to lose the weight? Do I want to have a 6-pack in 12 weeks or in 12 months? If you have one in 12 weeks, the tactics that you're going to take are going to be completely different than the tactics that you take to get it in 12 months. So then that is what yields the tactical clarity. Because once we know where we're trying to go and how fast we're trying to get there, then the tactics magically appear because we've got it defined. So if I'm in New York and I want to get to LA, Los Angeles in America, and I say, I want to get to LA. Okay, cool. Bunch of effing ways to get to LA. You want to take a train, a plane, a bus? What do you want to do? You want an Uber? Do you want a bike? I want to get to LA tomorrow morning. Okay, you got to fly. So now you start looking at flights because you have clarity. So that is the first thing that you do is now we're figuring out directional, sequential, and tactical clarity. For instance, for a lot of people that are listening to this, and what we do is we help 6-figure high performers leave corporate jobs. We replace corporate with cash flow, right? A normal, for instance, that your audience will relate with is, I need to replace $10,000 through real estate and business so that I can quit my job, travel around the world, build my own business. That's my jam, right? So say, okay, cool. Hell yeah, you want $10,000. Let's start there. Why? And then we validate it. Do you actually need $10,000? Let's say that you do. Sick. How fast do you need to get the $10,000? Because you getting there in 2 years versus 2 months versus 20 years are completely different aggressiveness and tactics, right? The aggression will start changing. So once we figure out all of this, then it gets to, okay, now we get to the tactics. Because if you want to do $10,000 in 2 years, then you need to be investing in this asset class or this asset class. Then we narrow it down. So now it comes to the ultimate game of volume, right? So now it's, okay, here's what I need to do. Here's the tactics that I need to do. Let me validate that I'm taking the proper volume of these actions in order to accomplish it. So clarity and volume is where most people mess this up because then they could do the thing, and they could be doing the right thing, but they're not doing the proper volume. So for instance, I was a sales rep in my corporate job. And in that corporate job, what I would be doing is I would be making cold calls. A lot of people make 2 cold calls, and then they'll piss around on their phone, 5 calls, 10 calls. I got my numbers down to where I'm like, I make 25 calls a day, 125 calls a week. I will get the proper amount of appointments required for me to hit $250,000 a year. It all boiled down to that one metric at the proper volume. Once you have the proper volume and the proper tactics, then all you have to do is the game that's the hardest for all of us entrepreneurs and humans, which is the waiting game, consistency. So clarity, volume, consistency is how you pull it off. And an example of consistency working in the inverse where it's irritating is me with my podcast. I wanted 1 million downloads for my podcast and I wanted it in my first year. I said, this is what I'm going to do. Let's go. I'm going to make a podcast every day. and I made a really good podcast and I did it every day, 5 episodes a week. Let's do it. But it still wasn't enough, which means I need to be patient. I need to just keep on the process. So I'll stop there. That is the CVC framework: clarity, volume, and consistency. If you figure that out, you can knock out anything.
Love that. I just got flashbacks to, what was that Will Smith movie when he's hitting the phones, Happiness, Pursuit of Happiness. Yeah, and he's hitting the phones and he's just putting it back down and putting it up, back up and just going for it. One of my favorite scenes. And yeah, that's gold, man. There's book number two, right?
Yeah. No, that's my keynote right there. That's basically the keynote in the shortened version. But if I have a gift, it's just translation. It's how do we take the complex and make it simple and break it down into what do I do this year, this quarter, this month, this week, this day that actually moves me towards where I want to go?
And that's the reverse engineering that a lot of people don't get. And I love that volume bit. People underestimate, especially going into a new business, they underestimate how much work they've actually got to do to hit that magic 10 grand a month mark to maybe replace their income, or 20K a month or whatever to replace their income, or less than that. It's up to the person, of course. I love it. We replace our 40-hour a week for 100-hour. I think you've said that a couple of times.
Replace a 40-hour a week job for a 100-hour a week business. Yeah. Congratulations, you won.
And no life.
I'm guilty.
Yeah, 100%. And it's funny, I've never had a job in my life. I've always owned my own businesses. I've never known anything different. So you speak in my language and people really do underestimate it. Talking about numbers and reverse engineering, how did you start your podcast, Action Academy podcast? Because you're interviewing some amazing guests, that one with Dan Martell. And I love what you did to score him as a guest, man. That was so fucking ninja. And he's a legend. And apart from Dan and that, look, I'll drop that episode of Brian's in the show notes as well. So how did you start your why podcasting? Because that's really been the core of your messaging out there, your content out there. Is that right?
Yeah, the podcast. Why did you go with that? Heart. Yeah, it's the heart of everything. I just mapped out how I'm going to make $50 million a year from the podcast. So we mapped out all the vertical businesses. And for anybody that's listening to me on this podcast right now that doesn't know me, you maybe be like, oh, haha. That's cool. Good job, bud. But then anybody that knows me is shit. He's probably going to do it because it's document and do and document and do and document and do. And then you gain so much validity and so much clarity and so much confidence from the documentation process. So a lot of people don't do that. So I started it back in 2022, I believe. No, I think it was 2021. We're coming up on, three years coming up in November of the podcast. So we started, in 2021. And so I started it just from a friend that I was golfing with. He said, hey, you have a knack for meeting people and talking to people. And me and you being in this room together doesn't make any sense. And you should start a podcast. And I had all these limiting beliefs and I had the same fear anybody else would. Like, why would they listen to me? But I did it anyways. And so I've got what's called the action muscle inherently baked within me, and other people have to work on it. So the action muscle is, how fast do you go from idea to implementation? What's the level of friction between that? For me, it's very simple. So I got this advice from this guy and I said, F it, I'm going to start a podcast. So what I did is I ordered this microphone that is sitting in front of you. All I have for my setup is I've got a webcam. I've got this microphone that's traveled with me to 37 countries and 7 time zones. I've got a USB connector that takes it up to my laptop. And this is what I've used to build a $1 million business and 757,000 downloads and 600 plus interviews with multimillionaires that have coached me personally. And that's over the last 2 years and some change. 2.5 years has been every single day. And I did it because it needed to be done.
Yeah, the volume piece. So take me through, what are the daily commitments that you committed to when you reverse engineered that goal? What you started with, what you're doing now. It was like you did a podcast a day, yeah? And you went to the short form Lewis Howe kind of thing too. So it's, I'm interviewing the Dan Martells of the world and some other amazing guests. But then you've got your thought of the day thing. Your 8-minute, 7-minute deal, and which I love.
Yeah, so that it's actually not that sexy, but I'll say it anyways of why I did it. So I started with one episode a week, which is what I recommend everybody do. Do an episode a week. I just had so many interesting people to speak with that I started doing 2 episodes a week. And then so I was like, okay, cool. This is easy for me to maintain with my network. I'll do 2 episodes a week. And I literally did that as I traveled around the world in different time zones. I did episodes when I was in Singapore. So I did them everywhere. And then what was happening was I was interviewing these millionaires. And then another friend said, hey, man, why don't you share what you're doing? I said, dude, I'm not doing that anything too interesting yet. I was just working a corporate job. So there's nothing really interesting. He's no, people are listening to the podcast for the host. You may think it's for the guest, but it's for the host. And I can guarantee you that is true because I could have Tony Robbins on tomorrow and he will maybe get 20%, 15% more downloads than me. But then my solo show the next day talking about how that episode went, it's going to get the same downloads.
You've measured that. That's true, right?
Over and over again. That's why I never will pay for a podcast guest. People are like, oh, why don't you pay $10,000 for this person or $20,000 for this person? I'm like, dude, because it's not going to materially, it'd be better to do $15,000 in Facebook ads than to do that. So it doesn't make a dent. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, they want to hear what I'm doing? Cool. I would do a short 8 to 10 minute episode on Monday and I would say, hey, I'm going to quit my job in 4 months. Here's the countdown. Starts today. And then I'm going to quit my job in 3 months, 2 months, 1 month. Hey, I just quit my job. Hey, I'm traveling around the world. Hey, I'm going to build this new business. And so that's what I started doing. And then how it materialized into 5 episodes a week was I did that. Now I've got a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then the fucking downloads are dipping during Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I was getting pissed off. I was like, this sucks. How much more effort is it going to take for me to make 2 episodes to put in those slots? Not that much. So I was like, I'll just do a 30-minute slot on Sunday or Monday morning where I just record all of my episodes for the week, my solo shows, and I'll just pop them out. So I get it done in 30 minutes. And so that's what it turned into 5 episodes a week. And it's been that for a year and a half.
It's so cool, man. Like, and that's so insightful, running a podcast, kind of relaunching this podcast as well. And thanks for being a part of it. You hang out for the guests, but you're right. People want to hear the host speak his mind, talk about topics. And I'll get into some of those topics which really interested me and your take on them. So that's going to continue your daily KPI of running the podcast. That's going to continue and you can't see any end of that.
No.
You love it. Yep. And yeah. You're documenting your journey too. Like, I'm referencing all these other people that people may or may not know, but Alex Amosi, you're documenting your journey to 1 million, to 10 million.
And it helps
you're
people.
Using this platform of podcasting like as a journal, right?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's my entire life and it's the medium that I'm best at. So for me, I can literally do anything I want. If right now I'm in the process of doing an exercise called my perfect week because I just hired a new executive assistant. So I'm like, what does a perfect week look like for Brian Lubin? And I recommend highly that everybody do this exercise. What's a perfect week? What would a perfect day look like? For me, I've got the bones of it right now. So I know that I don't want to do any calls in the morning. So my mornings are completely blocked off. I only take calls in the afternoon. Nobody's getting through to me in the morning ever, period. Because that's my deep work time and that's my creative time and that's time for me to wake up. Because when I was working my corporate job, I'd get woken up at freaking 5 or 6 a.m. from people screaming at me on the phone already and I'd be anxious every morning. So I want to take my time in the morning. So that's what that looks like. I actually enjoy doing sales calls for my business. I have sales delegated, but whenever it's a highly qualified person, I really enjoy doing at least a handful of them because that's just what I'm best at is sales. So doing sales and coaching calls, a handful, not many. 5 a week, love it. 5, 6 a week, love it. Being on podcasts, being a guest on podcasts is the key driver for the business and for growing my show. So whenever I go on a show, people come and listen to me speak on my show. So I always am now trying to be on 2 to 4 guest podcasts a week.
On that too, mate, it was either one you did yesterday, the day before, maybe last week, who knows, but very recent. You set yourself a goal of, I don't know, you've got a deadline coming up of getting on, is it 50 podcasts? And there was this hit list that involved 6-pack abs as well. And what are those? There's 5 goals, I believe, that you wanted to achieve by a certain date.
Yeah, by summer, by June 1st. Yeah, so I wanted to have 6-pack abs. I wanted to be on 50 podcasts. I want to have sales and marketing completely delegated. And I want to have cold traffic channels to where I have leads on my calendar that aren't reliant on me posting content. And there was another one. I think it was like maybe 60 or 90 more members for my business, for my community. But for me to earn the summer, that's important. We should talk about that.
Earn the summer. What does that mean? Talk me through that.
Everybody that's listening to this is like working a normal life, right? For the most part, you want an extraordinary life. But here's the problem. When you have an extraordinary life, and people see these millionaires and these celebrities and these athletes, and they're all pissed off, miserable, and depressed, right? And you're like, oh, piss off. That's cute, right? You have million-dollar problems. But no, I'm here to tell you it's very true, because human nature is human nature. So what happens is, it's called hedonic adaptation. So when you move to an extraordinary life 24/7, then when you live this life, like I have, like I traveled full time for 8 months. I lived in the Greek islands for a month, then Barcelona, then I went to Brazil, then I went to Madrid, then I went Switzerland, Italy, everywhere, in the nicest places. And then you're just like, this place isn't as nice as the other one. This is okay. And you start getting used to it. So then I feel like a marshmallow. That's what I call it. Like soft and white, man. I feel terrible. I'm like, this is too much luxury. So what I have to do is go back into seasons. I have to do hard shit to earn the luxury. So when luxury is earned, then that's the game. That's how you keep playing. That's why you see all these people doing these Tough Mudders and these 100-mile races and all these different Ironmans and stuff. It's pain, it's suffering, it's blood, it's sweat, it's grit. And as a man, even as women, like this is what you're supposed to do as a human. You're supposed to do hard shit. And when you do hard shit, that's what gives you the context to enjoy the luxury. If it's just luxury 24/7, you will no longer feel the dopamine from it. So for me, I wrote the book. It took me 1,137 hours to write the book. Then I did a huge book launch. I texted 5,000 plus people, did all this stuff. And I said, okay, that was really hard. Now I'm going to rest and enjoy myself. So I went to Colombia for a month, lived there for a month, went and lived in a freaking penthouse. Then after that, I went to Hawaii. And then I went to Cabo to host my event, and I came back and I was just like, all right, that's 2 months of luxury.
Mellowing.
I'm a marshmallow, man. I'm going to get some hard stuff done. So I'm going to hunker down here in Austin, Texas. And this, I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'm going to do these hard things in order to earn the right to enjoy my summer. And that's what I'm going to do. And I highly recommend that exercise for people, which is almost like when you are planning to do something difficult, almost plan the reward at the end. So what I'll do is I'll say, oh, I want to go running with the bulls in June, like in Pamplona, Spain. Then that means I'm going to stay over there. So I'm like, okay, what do I need to do to earn that? And so I'll go ahead and book it. I'll have that Rolex already waiting for me. I just bought my Rolex. I'll have it waiting for me for that $1 million mark. I'll have Pamplona waiting for me when I hit this thing. And that way, that's what keeps you being freaking human.
It's interesting that, like, my belief as well, totally get it, and which is my whole philosophy. What'd you call it? Hedonic? Because I know what hedonism is.
Hedonic adaptation. So it's just getting used to and becoming comfortable with the new, like, the good, the new stuff. That's why in America, especially, people go get the nice car, the nice house. All of a sudden, you're bored. Then you need the nicer car, the nicer house, the nicer watch, and all of a sudden you're a slave to the salary.
And I have the analogy of human beings, and I've talked about this for years, and it's funny you should say this, my bucket list. I've left my whole life to go to Machu Picchu and go to the seven wonders of the world, and I get there and wow.
No, what?
Human beings, we do everything we can. We fall in love with the dream of getting to the island, getting to the island. We make that journey across the rugged seas to the island. We discover the island. We enjoy the island. We hang out on the island. And then we're, oh, what's that over there? That's another island.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're recycling that whole process of thinking about the next thing. And then beyond that, there's another island. We get fat and happy. We get bored. And that hedonistic kind of treadmill. Where are you on enjoying the journey? People say, this is very destination focused. What about the journey, man?
Yeah, no, I'm too addicted to the journey, actually.
Yeah. What do you mean by
that? So I'm on the flip end of it. So what you're talking about, for people that are listening that may not understand what you're saying. So it's just like, life is 99% of the climb up the mountain, and then you take the 2 minutes to take the picture at the peak of Everest, and then all of a sudden, like, you realize your Everest has 900 million mountains that are higher than it across everything. So the mountain range never ends. So now I'm just like, ooh, I love climbing. Then it's okay, fall in love with the climb, enjoy the process, enjoy the sweat, enjoy being out of breath. And now I'm like, yeah, brother, bring it on. Let's do it. Yeah. And now I've gotten to the point where I get to the fucking mountaintop. I don't even enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm feeling like that. I've done that before. Yeah, for sure.
And now I'm at the mountaintop and I'm like, okay, back to climbing. I'll just start climbing again. Or even worse, here's an even better analogy for this. So here's a better analogy is I'll trek through the wilderness and I'll get to that go through the jungle and I spend months or years going through this jungle and I come out to this beautiful lake. And then this is what I've been working towards. It's just to go lay by this lake and do nothing. I get to the do nothing lake and I'm laying there and I'm like, shit, I'm not doing anything. I hate this. I hate this. Yeah.
What the fuck are we doing?
So life, I got this advice for a long time ago. The measure of a man is how comfortable are you sitting in a room by yourself doing nothing?
I can't even deal.
I was just like, ooh.
Isn't that jail? Isn't that solitary confinement? Hang on.
Yeah, but it's just, it's presence, right? And that's something that I'm working on right now. So it's just, if you're so addicted to busy, you will never be peaceful. You will never find peace. You'll never have what you're seeking because you haven't, it's a muscle as much as it is anything else. Peace is a muscle too. So I think there was actually a quote, what was it? Naval Ravikant said it. It was really good. He said, happiness is peace in motion and peace is happiness at rest.
Mm.
So if you don't know how to rest, you're screwed. That's part of living.
True.
Yeah. And mate, when you work out the magic formula on that one, can you email it to me and we'll do a JV on it? Because I've really got engaged in Rick Rubin. And what he's putting out there, if you've seen that documentary, I think it's a 60-minute documentary on Rick Rubin's house and in Malibu, wherever he lives. And it's just like complete minimalist. And he's just like a modern-day guru in terms of enjoying the journey, enjoying the art. You're obviously a big meditator. But in terms of what he's put out there in the world is really, yeah, just guru status for me. Enjoying the journey and enjoying the process. Love it. Let's pivot.
I do have one answer for it. But they have to leave you a 5-star rating and a review. The best answer that I found for this is the people that you work with is, I believe, the answer.
Wow.
So in the beginning, you don't get to choose who you work with. And you do life with. Yeah, correct. So in the beginning, you don't really have a choice. You're just working that job and you're assigned to a team. But then when you're an entrepreneur, then you have choice about if you want to do this project solo or if you want to do it together with a team. And what I've come to realize on this journey is when you pick people that are just high quality, high ethics, high moral, high energy, high optimism people for your business, for your life, for your coaches, for your fitness, for your spouse, and you're doing the journey with them, that's the make or break. Then it's fun, dude. It's a freaking blast. The only thing I struggle with now is stopping.
On that, where did you grow up?
Tennessee.
Now you're in Austin, but you moved there intentionally, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And why?
Because I have a vision of the 8-figure version of me. So this is actually really interesting, and it may sound superficial, but if they're listening 38 minutes deep in the podcast, then they're vibing with me and they understand what I'm saying. So I have a vision of the 8-figure version of me, and I see that guy, and I'm like, who is that guy? What does that guy do? Where does he live? What does he eat? What's a routine look like? How does he treat his team? What kind of team does he have? How does he treat his fitness, his relationships, all this different stuff? And I have had this version so deeply ingrained in my identity that I'm already worth that in spades for years now. And I finally buy this Rolex, this $14,000 Rolex. I own nothing, by the way.
Hang on, you got that for $14,000?
Yeah.
Hang on, that's a Submariner, that's a gold, $14,000,
yeah.
Who's your guy? Holy shit.
Yeah, that's about what it retails for, 14 to 16, yeah. But I get this watch, and so I put it on my wrist, and I thought that the guy that I bought it from wears it once a month for a date night, a special occasion. And so my first concern was I put this thing on my wrist, and I'm going to be terrified to wear this thing out. But I put that thing on my wrist, and I was just like, this is supposed to be here. This is my daily wear. This is supposed to be here. This feels normal to me. because I've got this identity of this guy that it's just, that's what I try to tell people over and over again is, who do you want to be? Get so crystal clear about that person. And then the cheat code of life is just do the actions that person does today. And now to go back to the CVC, clarity, volume, consistency, you have clarity, you have the volume, and now it's just a consistency game. So it takes the emotions out of it because now all I have is time. So I'm like, okay, cool. I want to be fit. I would have a trainer. I would have a media team. I'd be doing this and this, or I would live not in Tennessee, not in Atlanta. I'd live in Austin, Texas. And I'd have all these friends in Austin. And that's why I moved to Austin.
So it's no surprise when you achieve these things. You get the watch, you get the holidays, the lifestyle, etc. It's just no surprise. It's already ingrained in me. I've been doing the reps. It's just no surprise anymore.
Dude, I wrote out my entire business. Like, these are all the like different parts of my business that I'm showing on the screen for people.
Holy shit.
I just wrote all of this out, and it's like the Walt Disney. I wish I could show it to you. So Walt Disney wrote out all of his different, I've got it framed in my office. He wrote out all of his different businesses. He's got like the theatrical films, publication, comic strips, Disneyland, merchandise, TV, music. And he has all these different crisscross wires connecting everything. Yeah. And I've got it all written out. I'm like, this is what we are going to do to take us to $50 million of revenue a year. Like, here's the business. Here's the real estate. Here's the different companies. And I even have little like 6, 7, and 8s all put around it. It's got little 6, 7, and 8s where I'm like, this is a 6-figure business. This is a 7-figure business. This is an 8-figure business.
So do you take a photo of that on your iPhone and then just send it to all your team members and say, let's go? What's the process of unpacking that?
So what I do is, yeah, so that's what I did this morning is I said, okay, this is actually super interesting. I've never talked about this stuff on the podcast before. If I do one thing really well, it's this. So what I do is I tell my team, this is where we're going. And what that does is it attracts rock stars, because rock stars aren't attracted to small vision. So for instance, if you have two houses and you want help buying 10 houses, like the person that has 100 houses isn't going to help you because that's boring to them. But if you go to that person that has 100 houses, you say, I want to buy 80 houses. They're like, oh, okay, I can help you, because it's an interesting problem. It's fun for them. So now I'm able to attract rock stars because they're like, I see where I can fit and make millions in your world. So my vision is so big that I can fit other people's million-dollar visions within them. My COO, Caitlin, wants to go travel around the world and take her kids to world school. So she has 4 kids and she wants to school them around the world. And we've done the math and it's going to cost her $80,000 next year. And so I'm like, okay, what do we need to do to get you an extra $80,000 this year through my company? Let's get you an extra $80,000. I need you to do this and this. Let's go. Let's give them that $80,000 for that world school. And so you do that. That's step one, is get your team involved. And then step two is you start dissecting sequentially. Like I said, directional clarity. This is what this is. Then it's sequential clarity. How fast do we want to get there? So this is probably like 5-10 year vision. So now I'm like, all right, which parts of this do we want to break down? So we break down events. We break down Action Academy, like Latin America. Like, I've got a LATAM luxury where I want to buy hotels, boutique hotels, mansions, new developments in Latin America for events and conferences, which takes me to the business of the real estate fund, which takes me to the YouTube channel, which it all comes together. And so then you're able to start picking it apart piece by piece and saying, this is $1 million business. This is a $10 million business. This is a $10 million business. And then you go find the people that have done that before.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go ask them, say, hey, you buy hotels in Belize, in Cancun, in Brazil. Come on the podcast. Teach me about this. How do you finance it? How do you raise capital down there? What are the laws? What do I look out for? Hey, you have 1 million followers on YouTube. Like, how did you do that? And then I build a team that supports all of this. As you build one thing, it funds the next, and it funds the next, and it funds the next. And so this, dude, just from this page today, this is what takes me to 100 million net worth plus 15 years from now.
You're not coming from a standing start. You're a shrewd investor already, right? You've got your portfolio, and these aren't just pie in the sky ideas, because you're coming into this with a hell of a background in investing, right? So where are you at right now? And I want to pivot that into your Action Academy. The fact that you've just, you did Tamarindo, you did Cabo, and I believe Tulum, I'm on the mailing list, Unpack Cabo, because that was your recent one. So you're taking these people, they're not startups, they're sophisticated investors, right?
Yeah, so anybody that's in Action Academy is, so that's our group. So that's like the back end business of the podcast, is we actually help you implement what we learn on the show. So it's people that have real estate already and they make six figures in their corporate jobs. And now they're like, I want to do larger deals to be able to leave. So that's what I built. There's nobody better in the world than me at helping somebody that makes six figures in a corporate job quit. That is what I do. And that's why I spent every day waking up. I'm like, how do I make this easier? How do I make this easier? How do I make this easier? So that is the community, Action Academy, that just hit our millionth dollar over there. We got 300 members. Yeah, then those people, we just started up a new events company. And now that events company, we sold out for Tulum, which is in September. And that was like $300,000 that we did in a Sunday morning.
Unreal.
Off of that email, one email.
Yeah, wow.
And so it's just
so cool.
And then so it just, it's a giant flywheel. It becomes easier and easier the more that you win. And that, so if you bring it all the way back to why podcasting, I can go have a direct reason to talk to anybody that's doing anything that I want. Dude, I posted, you said, who's your guy for the Rolex? I posted on my Instagram the exact Rolex I wanted. I said, this is what the Rolex I want. Who's got it? And a guy that I used to work with has that exact Rolex for 11 years. And I freaking sent him, PayPal'd him $14,000 that night on Sunday and said, ship it to me. And he shipped it to me and I got it on Wednesday.
Love that. Love that. Take me through, just unpack what you guys did at Cabo. I love the way in which you broke it down really nicely on one of your recent podcasts. Is I didn't want to do a stock standard gray building conference center, pack out the rooms that way. No, dude, I want to go full luxury. We're talking mansions. We're talking yachts. Break that down for me. The experience.
It's just fun. It's just fun, yeah. Dude. It's what I enjoy. And I enjoy like nicer things. I just love it. It really fires me up. When I travel, that's how I travel. When people follow me on Instagram, they're like, oh, we don't want to go on a freaking tuck over in freaking Istanbul. No, like you've got the freaking suite. Like we want to be in that. That's sick. I'm not the backpacker that's living off of beans and rice. I'm like, yo, I enjoy spending money. And so people want that experience. And like, how many times in your life are you able to go be the person that's in that mansion that you've always wondered about? And it's you're living there. And so that's what we're doing right now is now I've got 100 people. I'm trying to figure out, okay, I'm looking all across the country. Like I'm looking across countries. I don't even know what country we're going to. I think we're going to Tulum. But if I can't find the houses there, I'll go, okay, let's look at Jamaica. Let's look at Puerto Rico. Let's look in Belize. Let's look in Brazil until we find the place. So I'm looking across the countries to figure out where we're going next. And so, yeah, we stayed in $20 million mansions and we got a yacht. We had 54 people and we flew keynote speakers out. We had breakout sessions and one-on-one coaching and it was a wonderful time. So much so that half the people went and reinvested and paid in full for the next one.
Unreal. Hey, what have you learned? This is rapid growth. What have you learned not to do?
I learned not to do it by myself.
How do you stop yourself? That delegation muscle is getting stronger and stronger?
No, it's different. The delegation is actually the harder part, which I'm now picking up. It's more so being around mentors and being around people that have done the thing or people that are doing the thing and people that are at that level of net worth. So that's the important part because I'm really confident. Because I can do anything that I want to do, and I know I can. But I'm not cocky because of the rooms that I'm in. Because I understand that there are people, the people that I hang out with, they've made singular mistakes that are larger than my net worth.
Are you constantly looking for who inspires you at the moment? I dare say it didn't inspire you 5 years ago. Who inspires you right now? Who do you follow? You don't need inspiration, though, because you're already motivated. So you're looking more tactfully.
Yeah. So there's two different people that I want to mirror, like that I want to model my life off of, Joe Rogan and Tony Robbins. Not for the reasons that you think. The money, no, not as much. The money isn't, I already have enough money to do anything I want. And I've already came to terms with that, where I'm 29. Like there's nowhere that I go where I'm like, I can't afford that hotel. Like there is no nicer hotel room. I'm there. There is no nicer hotel room. There is no nicer restaurant. I can go there. I'm booked. I'm already eating there. So I'm just like, more money doesn't really move the needle for me. So why I like them is their connections and their relationships and their circle is so valuable. Like Tony Robbins is a way, is like with the top, like Tiger Woods, he can call Tom Brady, presidents, senators, freaking priests, anybody, like top athletes. Like I want to be around super performers, same as Rogan. Or it's just like relationships are what I care about the most. And so that, and then they've also demonstrated mastery in different levels, in different things. So Rogan's like a black belt in jujitsu, a master archer. He's a comic for decades. He has these interests that he goes all in on. Same as Tony Robbins. He's a billionaire, public speaker, financial coach. Like he's got mastery demonstrated over different really difficult areas. And I want that. And that's why I'm also learning Spanish and Portuguese right now, is I just want to be able to speak fluent Spanish and Portuguese, just as one of those reasons.
How do you move from scarcity to this abundant mindset? Like we've touched on it already, but for those people that are going, all right, once again, this is all well and good for you, Brian, because you've got that sales background, you're confident in yourself. But if you're going to coach someone, the top three steps to go from that scarcity to abundance mindset, rapid fire.
Momentum. It's just momentum, man. A plane. You have to think, life is not just like a freaking Formula One car. Life is like a plane taken off of a freaking runway. So it takes a lot to get the plane going. But you, what you do is you just get your checklist together and you say, okay, as the pilot, I'm going to get here. I'm going to check my dial. I'm going to do this. I'm going to buckle my seatbelt. I'm going to go through my pre-flight checklist. And you get that checklist by asking other people that have flown the plane before how they flew it. And so then you get in there and you start going. And then you press the throttle and you say, buckle up, everyone. And then it takes you a bit of time to get off of the runway. Then that's the hard part. Once you're off the runway and then you're getting through the clouds and the turbulence and now you're at cruising altitude, then it's like fun and you have a lot of confidence. You're like, oh, I just took the plane off. I know how to do that. So it's just, yeah, it's just momentum. So you're just getting started is the hardest part. So once you get started, then it's all dominoes after that.
Love it. Nearly there, mate. Nearly there. Describe the financial thermostat. I love that. You unpack that in your book, I believe, and then leverage that into how to set impossible goals.
Yeah. So financial thermostat, you want to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. So thermostat is what controls the temperature in the room. The thermometer is what tells you the temperature is. So a thermometer is always reacting. So you put a thermometer in a hot cup of water and it's going to tell you Celsius or Fahrenheit, oh, this is hot. It's going to react to it. Thermostat is what you use to control the temp. So you want to be the thermostat. And so financial thermostat is what people are you around? And then that will bring up your ideas of what's possible by default. That is why mastermind is important. Not even the accountability. It's just seeing what's possible. If you're around a bunch of people that are like, oh, I just did 300,000 this month. I did 400,000. I did 200,000. Then you're like, of course it makes sense for me to do at least 100,000. I'm still behind. It's just like that is financial thermostat. So like the guys I'm in a group chat with are all doing $300,000-$400,000 a month with their communities. I'm like, okay, I'm behind to hit 100,000. If I was around a bunch of people that were making 10,000, then I'd think I was doing something crazy and wrong to be like so far ahead of them. So that's, it's the people that you're around matter.
Proactively seeking these people out, whether they be in health, relationships, parenting, business, of course, money, which we've tapped into. How do we run with those herds? Getting out of your own way, imposter syndrome. What's your advice around that?
So how to overcome imposter syndrome or how to...
How to overcome imposter syndrome and getting in those rooms, getting around those people when you don't have the results?
Yeah. How are you going to get the results? Like you get around those people. It's like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? So add value. Then you're not going to have imposter syndrome. Find a way to add value. That's on you.
What do you mean by that? Add value to them. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that's on the person. Like that is on you as the person that doesn't have anything to figure out what the person that has everything is missing. Once you figure that out, you're off to the races. And it could just, dude, if you have clarity on who you want to be and what you want, then all these will come very simply to you. But people just aren't making an effort. Like my entire world started from sending a cold email where I was just like, hey, I'll do anything you hate doing for free. Let me know and I'll fly out immediately.
Love that. Love that. Yeah. I remember Warren Buffett said one thing that I've always practiced, and the beauty of having a podcast, blog, a voice out there and a network is if someone, and this is not particularly for you and I, but for other people listening and watching, if you want to up your game, add value, like Brian said, And that means you've got a network that they haven't got. You've got connections that they haven't got. You've got possibly time, a lot of time that they have not got. Offer that. Have you got a platform that you can help them sell their thing, get attention on their thing? And a lot of people discount what they take for granted or what they're unaware of. So if you want to up your game, I have a lot of people approach me and say, Trev, how can I help you? And I say, how can you help me? I can share your thing and I can do this and then do some admin, some of the tasks that you don't want to do. I could use that. Done. Now you're in my world. That's how simple it is, guys. But you've got to get out of your own way. Have the courage to ask. And if you don't ask, what's your advice around that? Just asking.
Just keep doing it, dude. If you don't ask, you're not going to get anything. If you're going to listen to this podcast and still not ask, then just stop listening to the podcast. You don't need them anymore. Like, you're not going to do anything.
You've got a busy day ahead, I'm sure. You've got to head off to that gym to get that six pack. Is it? That's what you're about to do? Yeah, cool. Dude, how can people connect with you? What would be an ask of my people right now? What do you want them to do?
Yeah, so all roads head to the Action Academy, right? So Action Academy podcast, I talk into a microphone every single day. I interview smart people and I shut up. So I'm just not even talking as much. I ask questions. So Action Academy podcast, check that out. You can go to get the book at Amazon. It's From Passive to Passionate, How to Quit Your Job, Grow Your Wealth, Turn Your Passions into Profits. 346 pages, step by step, how I pulled off everything that I did. And then lastly, I'm just around all social media, Brian Lubin. You'll see me. I'm traveling, doing stuff. You'll see me everywhere.
We'll drop all those links in the show notes, guys. Mate, thanks once again. It's been an enlightening talk. And guys, get around Brian. He's the real deal. I know he is. Everyone rates him. So thanks, buddy. Cheers.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to the Bucket List Life podcast with the world's number one bucket list expert, Trav Bell. For more great content, go to www.thebucketlistguy.com. We'll see you next time.
Hey, real quick, if you're still listening to today's episode, I'm assuming you got value from it, so I need your help specifically. My 2-year vision with this show is to help over 1 million people do what they want, when they want, with who they want, and I can only do that with your help. There are two main ways that a podcast grows. One is through ratings and reviews, and the other is word of mouth. If you could please leave me a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as send this to one or two friends that you think would get value from it, we can reach the people that we're looking to reach. Thanks in advance. Talk tomorrow.